If you were a company and you had an idea about something that you wanted to change or something that you wanted to improve, you'd have a plan, right? You'd have a strategy or a way to do that. So it shouldn't be any different with your English. And that's what I want us to do today. I want us to have a look at some questions that you can ask yourself to be really focused on what you're actually going to do with your English in the academic year 2021 into 2022. Can you believe we're here already? But before we get into that, some nice samba music, please. Welcome to Anna Mitchell's English podcast, bringing you business English every Wednesday. Before we get started, let me do a little shout out. Now, I had a bit of a problem because on Apple Podcasts, I was like, I don't have any reviews. Nobody likes my podcast. I'm a loser. But Apple Podcasts has like different faces. So it's got like an American face, it's got a Spanish face. Anyway, as maybe like you are, a lot of my listeners are Spanish speakers or they're from Spain. I didn't realize, but I actually had more reviews on the Spanish face. Anyway, long story short, somebody left me a review on the American face, which I've never seen before. So I'm going to read this one as a little bit of a shout out. Now, I don't know what your name is because it's in a different alphabet. Anyway, you left me the comment on the 19th of August. You said, great content. Thank you very much, Anna. I really like your podcast. It's extremely useful, especially for me, since I work in a company where English is the first language. I actually found you from Coolips. I'm following you on Instagram as well. You are so beautiful. Keep it up. Well, thanks very much, especially for the last part. I'm not sure right now. This is the beautiful thing about podcasts. Just to quote that word again, is you can't see me. I can do my podcast in my pajamas and you don't know. I'm really glad that it helps. I'm really glad that it helps you in your workplace. That's really great. Thank you so much for that review. If you're thinking about a way that you want to support the podcast, maybe you can't give a donation or buy me a coffee, but you'd like to help support me, this is a fantastic way to do it. Give me a few stars, a little comment, and also you're letting other people know what the podcast is about. You're giving a thumbs up and you also help me get the podcast out there. So really, really appreciate that comment. That's great. Moving on. Strategy for English 2021-2022. Why am I talking about this now and not at the start of the new year in January? Well, as I've said many times before, I think the start of the new academic year in September in many different, or September, August, October, this kind of autumn season is kind of a fresh start for many people. New school years, new academic years, new courses, blah, blah, blah. It's a fresh start, I see it. I see it more as new year rather than in January. So what questions do you need to ask yourself about your English this year? The point is, like, don't waste your time. You need to be really honest with yourself as well about what you're willing to do this year with your English. Now, I'm not putting any pressure on anybody. Some of you are going to be in the right place at the right time. Now is a really good time in your life to focus a lot on your English. And maybe at the moment you're going through a bit of a difficult patch, so you can only really do the minimum. Okay, either of those options is fine. I'm not trying to put pressure on anybody, but if you've got the chance to do something with your English, then take that chance. There's a really great quote that I'm going to quote here. It's by Benjamin Franklin. And he says, if you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. If you don't have even a basic plan about what you want to do with your English, then how can you expect to improve? You want to get good results. And this is also a common thing across many different areas when it comes to learning or whatever. People want that, you know, that knowledge. They want to be fluent. They want all that. But the work is actually the thing that's the difficult part, which a lot of people don't want to do, which is why a lot of people give up, a lot of people aren't consistent, blah, blah, blah. So let's go through a list of questions that I hope will help you feel like you're a little bit focused. I'm also going to put them in the description so you can go away and have a think about this after the podcast. And as I said, you just need to be super honest with yourself about where you're at right now. And I mean, I don't need to preach to the choir. To preach to the choir is to tell you something you already know or believe. I already know that you're invested in English. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast. You already want to learn English. You know that English is going to be useful for you in your career or whatever context. But it's still good to be focused and think, okay, what can I achieve in the next 3 months, 6 months? And the problem I think with languages is like we're so used to this idea of short term. Our culture is very like quick fix. And so this, you know, any kind of long term knowledge gain is like not very consistent with that. It doesn't complement that very well. You know, we want quick fixes and it's not really a quick fix. As I said last week in my podcast, I've been learning Spanish for 4 years and I'm still nowhere near where I would like to be. But most importantly, what I want to get across to you is change can happen at any time. Obviously, that's been proven to us in the last couple of years. Companies get taken over. We want new jobs. Bosses change, we get new clients. All of these things in your work environment could mean that tomorrow, next week, next month, you're going to have to speak English on a regular basis. Are you prepared for that? I've said that and asked that question to you before, but it's true. It's happened to my students, to my clients. Things have changed. And what you want to try and avoid is this situation, although sometimes it happens, where people are like, oh my God, I haven't spoken English for like 10 years. And then they're like, okay, now I've got an English speaking client. So now I want to practice my English. It happens. I mean, but it's better to kind of prevent that situation of like emergency English, like, oh my God, I have to practice now, because then the pressure is a lot worse. And I don't think most people work under pressure very well. Especially in a language context, I think that people forget things. They don't absorb things very well if they're already stressed, or people sometimes work really well under a lot of pressure, but I don't know. So I've seen some really admirable students who have been like, okay, I don't really need to speak English now, but I know that in the future, this is going to be very important. What about if the worst case scenario, nobody wants this to happen, but what about if for some reason you lost your job and then you had to find another job? And as part of that job, it said, okay, we need somebody that speaks English or whatever, or has an exam in English, or I don't know, whatever. It's like, it's really good to have a strong base in English. It doesn't have to be perfect. Please don't confuse any of these things I'm saying with perfect. But it's good to feel confident underneath all of that and be like, okay, I've been working consistently on my English for a couple of years, or it's always in the background, you know, it's always there. And then when you need it, when you really, really need it, it's going to be there for you. It's kind of like, where are you going to place your bet, you know? And I think English is a great bet. It's a good thing to place a bet on, because it's going to pay off in those really key moments of your career where you might need it. Just think of it as another tool in your toolbox. So questions, let's get onto those. What is your overall goal? What do you want to achieve in this year? The reason I'm taking a year, I'm not thinking about a really long point of view. Let's try and keep it manageable. I think, you know, you can kind of think about 1 year ahead. Most people say to me, I want to improve my English. Boom. It's like massive. Of course you want to improve your English. I get that. Otherwise you wouldn't be here. But imagine yourself in that ideal situation. Like everybody has that. You've got this like ideal vision of you in English, or in my case, in Spanish. You know, maybe that's working in another country. some of my clients have been working in places like Holland or America, Australia. Maybe that's leading a meeting in English. Maybe it's just feeling confident speaking in English, or living in a completely different country, an English speaking country, a better job, that promotion that you want, leading that team or working on that project. What is it? Try and imagine that. What is your goal? And focus on that. Not just, I want to improve my English, make it personal to you and kind of, you know, bring that vision to life. The second question you might want to ask yourself is, where are you in relation to this goal right now? Now that you've got that goal, you want that promotion. And as part of that promotion, you need to have a certain command of English. Are you on track? Are you half in, half out, 50%, you're kind of on your way there, but you're not very focused? Or are you nowhere near that? You need to be very honest with yourself. I've said that a few times already. I'm like a broken record. A broken record is a good expression. It's like when someone keeps repeating themselves all the time. And we say it in a derogatory sense when somebody has like the same bad behavior. And we're like, oh, it's just a broken, he's just a broken record, or she's a broken record. Anyway, I'm also very serious tonight. I don't know if you've noticed that, but I'm very serious tone in my voice today. I don't know what happened, but I think it's because I'm recording this in the evening and I seem to be very serious. So I hope it's okay. But a bit of variation is fine. Last week I was quite jovial, quite jolly. It's another way to say happy. And today I'm quite serious and yeah. Anyway, where are you in relation to that goal right now? Be honest with yourself. How much do you really want it? How much do you really want that promotion? Are you willing to put in the work? I know I'm thinking about all of my students now, and I'm thinking there's a handful there that I would pick out that really want it. They really want to do better in English, have better relationships in English, deal with customers better in English, feel more confident in English. And then the others, I would say, are like half in, half out. They're like 50% of the way there. And those people are really hard to motivate. They're really hard to get you guys on track. But ultimately, I think if I'm talking about the you know, the coach or teacher and student relationship, it always comes down to the student. I can try and motivate you. I can try and find out what it is that makes you tick. But ultimately, it comes down to that student, that person. You are the one driving the sessions, the classes. I think it's a common misconception that it's the teacher who drives. The teacher guides, but the learning is driven by the student. Next question. What are the obstacles in your way to you achieving your goal, and how could you make those obstacles smaller? Let's have a look at some of the big obstacles here. Time. Everyone's got a lot on their plate, doing different things, responsibilities, a busy job, family, pets, looking after loved ones. Loved ones just means family. It's quite a common term though, so good to point it out. If you've got a really busy life, you need to try and find small pockets, or one way is small pockets of time. Find rituals that you really like, habits that you really like in English. Another tip I would say is, if you are in a very high pressure, busy job, if you ever have any downtime basically means when your workload is a little bit smaller. Maybe you've been working on a big client project, it's coming to a close. Maybe you've been launching a new software and now the launch is over. Whenever you have downtime, try and make the most of that. If it's 1 month, 2 months, maybe even 2 weeks, but try and make the most of those periods of downtime if you're in a busy job or you have your own company and you've got a period of a bit of downtime. Try and make the most of those points because they don't come around often, so make the most of them. But again, time is elastic. You need to choose where you want to spend your time. And if you are invested in English, you will have to make the time, or you will make the time. It won't necessarily be something you force yourself to do. You will just do it. And after all, it's time that you need. You need time to read. You need time to speak. You need time to listen. Of course, money is the other one that might be an obstacle. Maybe spending money on your English, or additional money. I mean, of course, you need, if you want to buy a book, you have to buy a book. Or if you want to do stuff on social media, you need to buy a phone. But I mean, you know, investing in maybe a course or something like this, maybe that's not something you can do right now, not something you want to do. The great news is that the English learning market is completely saturated in the best way possible. And that's fantastic news for you because you've got your pick of everything. There is so much content for you to absorb that is waiting for you out there. The thing that you have to do is sieve through it. To sieve through something is to filter something to find what you like. If you do have money to spend and you maybe you've saved up some money, you want to, you know, think about a course, you need to think about the best way to spend your money. Do a pros and cons with different courses. Which course is going to help me reach my goal quickest? Think about, you know, reviews, what other people have told you about their experiences. And this is me being completely neutral. Okay, I've got my own courses. I've had that. I have my own clients, but I'm trying to give you a completely neutral view here. Be in control of your own learning. If you are in sessions with somebody or teachers or whatever, you need to be in control of that. The teacher is there to guide you and give you ideas about what they think you should be doing, but you should also have an open dialogue with your teacher. Sometimes that can feel a little bit uncomfortable, but you know, if you feel that something isn't quite working or you want to work on something else that you feel will be more beneficial, try and have the confidence to have that conversation. If you don't feel confident saying it to the teacher, maybe write it in a message. Okay, that can also be a good way of approaching maybe difficult conversations. But again, things can be misconstrued with written word texting, but it could be an alternative. You know, one really good way that's good to practice speaking is voice notes on WhatsApp. I've done that recently with my Confident Presentations course, and the students really like it as a good way to practice speaking. Just a little tip. Another obstacle, let's not forget, nothing about time or money, but confidence. Maybe you're just really lacking in confidence and you're like, I don't know where to start. I'm really scared. Totally normal. If you're really scared of doing something, you're not going to do it. However, there's only one way for you to improve, and that's to practice. And there's only one way for sure that we know you're not going to improve, and that's if you don't practice. So if you need to work on your confidence, maybe try first doing something where you are one-on-one with somebody before you go to a group. Maybe you're a little bit more reserved, a little bit shy. That can be a good way to build your confidence. And then move on to a group kind of situation. Because I know that sometimes it's uncomfortable, maybe speaking in front of groups or making a mistake in front of your peers or colleagues. I totally get it. So that could be a strategy to overcome that that fear maybe or obstacle. Other questions. What do you want to practice and what do you need to practice? Two different questions. What do you need to practice is a question that should be answered by somebody, your coach, your teacher. And what you want to practice is something that you need to think about. What is it that I really need? And remember, there's many different things, reading, writing, speaking, listening. I would say from my experience, most people, what they really want is practice with speaking and listening, presentations, meeting role plays, general fluency, listening to somebody speaking English. Those are the two main ones for business skills. But you need to prioritize. If what you need is reading, well, then you need to read. If what you want to do is write, well, then you need to write. There's a really nice quote from a masterclass promotion, which is a new trend of experts that give training. And there's one by Margaret Atwood, who's an author, and she said something like, the only way to write is to write. You know, like there's only one way to do it. So you really need to think about what it is that you want to practice, whether that's presentations, whether that's specific types of vocabulary. But I would really urge you to be as specific as possible when you're working with somebody like a coach or a teacher so that you get the most out of what you are investing in terms of time and also in money. And the teacher and the coach should be telling you what you need to practice. That's their job. That's my job. I should be telling you, okay, you're really good at this. We don't need to worry about that, but we need to practice this. If you're a high beginner or a low intermediate, you really want to focus on getting very solid grammar, because that's going to mean that you have a very good core of the language in the future. If you're middle to high intermediate, which you probably are because you're listening to this podcast, or you're in that kind of range, you can already speak English. So now you need to work on perfecting some of your skills, or specific skills that are related to your job that you're going to do often in English. Things like presenting, for example, or maybe email writing, and also perfecting those or correcting those kind of, you know, common mistakes that you make to again give you a more well-rounded grammar. How are you going to measure your progress? Really important. Otherwise, we feel like we're just in this big sea of nothing. We don't feel like we make any progress. Again, exams, tests, these can be ways to do it. Also, just thinking about your discipline, and if you're doing something as a routine every day, that's progress, even though you're not necessarily seeing the results, but that is progress. By doing something every day, that's progress. Maybe keep something like an English diary. I don't know. I've started keeping a diary of certain different things because apparently, you know, it's life changing. So I thought, well, I'm going to try it. It's quite difficult for me to write every day, though. I always forget. But, you know, maybe when you ask a question in a meeting, or you give a presentation, or you have a phone call, just write a sentence about how it went, what went well, what didn't go well. That could maybe help you measure your progress. Next question, what lessons have you learned already? This is where you're asking yourself, what helps me learn English and what doesn't help me learn English? And again, you need to be frank with yourself. This is not what works for everybody else, which is very tempting, because we'd all love to say that, you know, we love grammar books and we study grammar books all day and blah, blah, blah. Some people do work really well like that, but maybe you don't, and that's fine. I don't know. If you listen to the radio, listen to the radio. If you like reading, I don't know, Vice News, read Vice News in English. What lessons have you learned? What works for you? What doesn't work for you? If you didn't like a particular type of course, like a group course, well, don't do a group course. If you don't like group sessions and you like something more individual, then, you know, you need to go for that. I think it's also really important that you have a connection with the teacher or the coach that you're working with. That's really, really, really important. I think that connection is what creates kind of the environment in the class, and it motivates both people. So really try and find someone that you find a connection with. I think that's really, really important. And lastly, a couple of questions, you know, how much, I guess these are related to the last ones, but how much time are you really, well, not even how much time, but how much are you willing to invest really in terms of your time and also your money? I mean, time is money. Sometimes what can happen is we tend to overestimate. We're like, yeah, I'm going to do an hour every single day. I'm going to listen to the radio every single day. A habit doesn't have to be every single day. I think, from my experience, maybe it's better to under-promise and over-deliver. So start with something small, like 10 minutes, and then, you know, work it up. Or, you know, maybe do something twice a week, then work it up to three times a week. Ultimately, again, it has to come from you and whatever. But again, coming back to the money element as well, you know, as I said in my podcast last week, I have consistently invested some money in my Spanish and learning the language. But you don't have to. Is it the same free content as having a coach or a teacher? No, of course not. Anyone would be lying if they said that. But again, it's up to you. You can make that content work for you if you want to. So a few final words, because I'm reaching, or I'm going over my 20-minute mark. But again, I love this topic. I think it's really important. I think it's good not to rush into things, you know, like just to take a step back and think before you do things is always a really good thing to do before we go into this new academic year. A couple of final things I wanted to say. If things happen in your life, like many of my students experienced difficult times last year, or I don't know, maybe you have like a really difficult project that you have to work on for 1 week and it throws you off your routine and your schedule. Don't be like, oh my God, it's over. You know, I've ruined everything. I'm never going to get it back. And just try and get back into it as soon as you can. And that's fine. You know, I feel like we punish ourselves a lot if we like miss a day or, and just relax and get back to it when you can, and don't punish yourself. Don't be so critical of yourself for, you know, I don't know, focusing on something really important at work. Like, that's important. As long as you make sure that if English is really what you want to improve, that you make sure that it is a constant in your life in one way or another. And think about what you would do, or think about what advice you would give yourself if you were outside the situation. I always think that's a good perspective to think about. But then it also makes me reflect on the fact that nobody takes their own advice, which is a funny concept as well. Anyway, I'm going to wrap up here. So just a couple of questions, super basic questions, nothing, but just to try to get you focused and thinking about what you're doing in English. Maybe it's time, maybe you've had a routine for a long time and now it's a good point to have a refresh and think, okay, what am I really trying to do this year? What can I do? What is possible? And be realistic and be kind to yourself as well. Don't try and put too much pressure on yourself unless you can manage that. Okay. That's me for today. Thank you so much for listening, guys. If you love the podcast and you want to subscribe, you can do it on any of the major platforms. As I said at the beginning, it would be great if you could leave me a little review on Apple Podcasts. Help get it out there. And don't forget that I'm on Instagram. You can find me on there for even more business English content. You can find me at Anna2EndsEnglish. Thank you so much for listening. Really enjoyed that episode. Sorry I've been very serious today, very serious and solemn. But yes, there's a day and time, or there's a time and place for everything. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you very, very soon. Bye-bye.